And the Kimberley lost a legend last year when Malcolm Douglas passed away in a tragic car accident. Malcolm left a huge void, and one of the big questions was who would continue his amazing and important work with wildlife. Well, there's a new manager at the Malcolm Douglas Wilderness Park, and he comes with a pretty impressive pedigree. His name's Marshall Black, and he joins me in the studio. Good morning, Marshall.
Hey, Rob. How you going?
Very well. Thank you for coming in. You're stepping into some pretty big shoes in your new role, Marshall. So what qualifies you to run this wilderness park?
Well, most of my, my training has been on-the-ground training. I've worked at a few different places throughout Australia, including a couple of crocodile parks and four different zoos. And I started at Taronga Zoo as a young fella in my early 20s.
Right.
And worked my way up there and became senior cooper of the reptile department. And, that one's quite an interesting experience.
Yeah. Let's go back a bit earlier. I was wondering with reptiles whether it's something that you almost need to want to love, and or you love reptiles from the day you're born. Was that your experience?
You know, I think you have to. You have to be interested in reptiles in order to work with them. That's for sure. And when I was a very young man, I think my first recollection is my father, working in construction, brought home a pet blue tongue for me.
Right.
And
did you grow up in the country or in the city? Or
well, I grew up in Western Sydney at a town called Penrith. You may know the Penrith Panthers.
Of course, base of the mountain.
Yeah, the base of the Blue Mountain. So it was an interesting area because it was right on the fringe of the city and it was lined by the Nepean River and this huge, wilderness bordering Australia's biggest city, the Blue Mountains, and Wollamai National Park. And I spent all my spare time when I was able to get up there alone with a couple of mates looking for lizards and different critters. And so it was a great place to grow up. It was more of a sort of half a country town back then with the all the mod cons of a city not too far off. It was a great place to grow up then.
So your dad brought you home a blue tongue.
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
I think I may have been 4 or 5 years of age. It was a long time back. And from that time on, I was hooked.
Really?
And I spent my interests laid mainly with reptiles up until I worked at Taronga Zoo and got the opportunity to work with, I suppose, everything from maggots through to elephants.
What a wonderful spread of animals.
It was, yeah, and everything in between. So that was a great time of my life.
Do you think humans sometimes fear reptiles, which may be with snakes, and it can even, of course, go across to any type of reptile, whether it be blue tongues or anything, is born from a misunderstanding? I mean, I've got a young boy, and he hasn't got any fear. We have blue tongues that walk through our home every now and then. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care at all. You know, he just sees it as another animal. Is it that at that age when people develop sometimes a fear of reptiles, do you think?
You know, it's an interesting question because you may have heard of a guy, I think, from BBC in England, Robert Winston. He wrote a book on human instinct. And in that book, he suggests that, or he asks the question, are we born with that fear? Because you are born with some instincts and others you learn. And he was asking that question and it's amazing because some children tend to have an inherent fear from a very young age, and others you will pick up anything that moves. Mm. So yeah, I'm not really clear on that, but certainly snakes have had bad press for since time immemorial. So
but they can kill you, Marshall.
Yeah, they can. Yeah,
and is that something else that you know people worry about? Just the way they look and their beady little eyes, and the fact that they, even though they're an animal and probably more scared of you like any other animal.
That's true.
People feel like they're just coiled, waiting to strike out and take our lives.
Yeah, well, you know, that is the, I suppose, the bad press I'm talking about, that they have this. And certainly they do have toxins which are in their venom, which are mind-blowingly dangerous. There is no doubt about that, some species. But in Australia, we have over 150 different species of snake. And I've got to say that probably less than 30, or about 30-ish, are regarded really dangerous to people. The rest aren't. So there's, by and large, most species of snake are mildly venomous or are non-venomous here in Australia.
Now, in working with snakes, there's the inevitable question, bitten. Have you been bitten?
Listen, I have been bitten. It's funny because in my field of work, amongst what we call herpetologists, people that work with reptiles, it's not, you don't like to talk about it too much to say you've been bitten, but
is it because it's kind of like a, you know, seen as a bit of a, a bit of an amateur, you know?
Well, yes, but, you know, in my own defence, the time when I was bitten when I was 13 years old. I'd walk through the bush with a rebelly black snake in the middle of summer, And
what do you mean you were walking through with one?
Well, I had it in one hand. I was held it around the head, and when I got back to my stepmother's place, Dad was at work. I said, "Can you get a photo? Can you get a photo?" So I had this black bomber jacket on because I went out early in the morning, and I didn't think it would show up well in the photo. So I was taking the jacket off while trying to hold this snake, and when swapping hands, it latched onto me. So that was my first experience with a venomous snake.
And it got injected venom.
It did. I knew exactly what to do. My stepmother Shaz went into a panic. But I don't know. I just knew what to do because I've been reading books and whatnot, and been involved with the Australian Herpetological Society since a very young age, since 10. So I knew what to do. I was very calm. I wrapped myself up in the broad constrictive bandage and applied pressure to the limb. Kept the limb still. Mm. Didn't aerobic exercise at all. Sat in the back of the car while she cleaned my sister's nappy. And we went off to hospital, and I was the hospital was actually Gosford in New South Wales.
Yeah.
The hospital called up the famous, in my mind, Eric Worrell, who's now passed away, but he was a legend in reptile circles. So to me, he was like, "Oh my God, I was 13 years old rather," and he came up to the hospital, and I was all bright eyed, and he said about tearing strips off me.
Did handling he?
Venomous snakes.
Is that right? Because it would have been, I was thinking, what a great way of getting, you know, to meet Eric Worrell.
It was. You know, he said, "What are you doing? How'd you get bitten?" I told him I'd caught it and whatnot. "What are you doing holding venomous snakes?" Said, "Oh, well, you know, this is what I do. You know, I've been catching them since I was quite young." And he was just blown away. I think from the records that I read, he didn't start getting involved with venomous snakes till he was a young man, 19 or 20. So he's seeing a 13-year-old boy who's catching snakes. And I wouldn't encourage it. For the listeners out there, I wouldn't encourage young people catching venomous snakes at all, because the consequences can be...
Of course. It's 70 minutes to 11. We're speaking... 70 minutes past 11, sorry, on ABC Kimberley. We're speaking to Marshall Black, who's the new manager of the Crocodile Park, Malcolm Douglas's Wilderness Park. You mentioned you've been bitten a couple of times, and I think one of them involved, or at least one or two, the death adder.
That's right. At the time, I had probably... Well, the largest private collection of snakes I was aware of at the time, that wasn't a zoo or a display set up, and so I had probably 160 venomous snakes at my house, and often I'd be rushing off to go to work at Taronga Zoo, and I'd be pressed for time, and I'd fill up water dishes and whatnot early in the morning, about 3:30 in the morning before I go off to work. And this morning I was a little careless, and one of the times, it was the second time I'd been bitten. I'd been bitten within a 5-year window, which isn't good had anti-venom, and I suffered anaphylaxis in the hospital.
Right.
And that manifested itself in the form of my diaphragm not functioning, therefore I couldn't draw a breath. So,
Are they allowed to administer anti-venom again in that 5-year window, or is it... just that it isn't as effective, or it's a bad thing to do?
They do. And what they did is they were monitoring me at the time, and after, you know, an hour or so, I felt fine.
Right.
And they had an intern looking after me, and the intern, he said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Well, I feel great. It's good tucker, you know, this anti-venom. I feel like I'm right as rain." And he said, "Do you mind if I just bolt down the hallway and make myself a cuppa? I'll be back within 2 minutes to get your next blood pressure." And I said, "Go." "Yeah, I'm fine, mate." He walked out. As soon as he walked out the arch of the door, I couldn't draw a droplet of breath. And I just, oh, cry. The first thing I thought to myself, 2 minutes without oxygen, I'm in a lot of trouble, you know.
Yeah.
I was a young man. And anyway, so he never didn't seem to come back. And the first thing I noticed was I lost colour vision.
Really? So everything went black and white?
Everything went black and white. And then all my peripheral vision started going. I then went into a bit of a panic, or not panic, but I thought, geez, I'd better get some attention. So I had a drip stand.
And all this time you were trying to draw a breath?
Couldn't draw a breath. Couldn't draw a droplet. And so I pushed the drip stand was on rollers.
Mm.
I just pushed it, ripped all the drip out of my arm, smashed against the stainless steel bench and all the gear, and a nurse come running up the hallway, nearly in freeze frame, goes, "You all right?" I can't breathe, you know. And she ran off, and they all come in, and they jabbed me with everything you can imagine. By this time, I could see a very narrow tunnel vision in front of me. I must have been without a breath for several minutes, probably going for the world record of holding my breath,
wow.
Fighting off becoming unconscious. Anyway, they injected me with I remember them all standing still, and they injected me with adrenaline, and I just sucked in a breath straight away.
Is that like right? That. It was instant.
Instant.
And did they do it into your heart?
Like, no, not like in Pulp Fiction, thank God.
It must be an incredible feeling, though, to suddenly be saved almost. I mean, you would have been, after a couple of minutes, you would have been seriously considering whether you were going to remain on this earth.
You know, when the nurse came to the door and I was fading out and I'm just trying to keep conscious at that point, I didn't think I could hang on to consciousness very long. And then she took off back up the hallway and all I could think was, crikeys, you know, don't leave me alone. But she came back with all these coats, doctors in coats, and they run around the room and are like racing around the room, several of them, and they fixed me up. Mm. Yeah, so it was all good.
Just one more thing on the bites, and I'm sorry to dwell, but what's it feel like to be actually bitten by a snake? Like, is it painful? I mean,
initially, listen, it depends on the species.
Right.
Toxins are made up of, or venoms are made up of lots of different toxins, usually, that are used for mobilization, you know, digestion, all different sorts of things, making the blood run thinner or thicker, depending on the species. So it really is, you know, dependent on the species of snake that bites you. If you're bitten by one species of snake, such as the death adder, there is no local effect initially at all. You don't feel sick initially. You don't feel pain at the bite site. Eventually, the limb will swell and swell that far that your fingers will more or less be pressed in. It looks like a balloon, like a plastic surgical glove blown up.
Right, yeah.
But later on, you know, in the following 2 weeks, that digit or the finger that's been bitten is incredibly painful, but initially not. But in the case of some other species, you can have burning sensation and all different sorts of local problems as well.
The Wilderness Park itself, it's obviously been a big part of Broome and the Kimberleys' history. Two things. First of all, there's the Broome one, of course, was on the market prior to Malcolm's death, and immediately afterwards, I understood it had been taken off the market. Do you know what the situation is with that at the moment?
Well, my understanding currently is that if a purchaser were to come along with a reasonable offer, that it would be considered by the family, the Douglas family. I'm not sure if there's any offers standing at the moment, but we are concentrating largely on the park out of town, developing that for the opening in Easter period.
Okay.
And making it a very visitor-friendly, great experience.
Have you been impressed by what it is already?
Listen, what I've been incredibly impressed by is that I understand Malcolm was 69 when he passed away tragically, but the man was a legend. He had the energy, I believe, of a man half or even a third of his age. Just remarkable. If we go out to the park out of town at 12 Mile and you see the alligator pond there, it's a big hole that was dug many years ago on which it's lined with concrete. And I'm told that he lined the whole thing himself with a concrete, you know, one of those small mixers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
So what he's achieved out there is phenomenal. And I've got to say that there's places throughout Australia involved with the breeding of lots of different endangered and threatened species. And this year we've had phenomenal success with breeding the bilby, the Woylie, and some others. I think it's been our biggest year thus far, or one of our biggest years for crocodile breeding as well.
Yeah. Did you bring any snakes with you?
I didn't. I got a photo here, but that's no good for the viewers.
No, actually, I'm very happy you didn't, because I personally am one of those people who have believed the bad press. I grew up on a farm, and so we... Holy smoke. Is that a brown snake?
That's the biggest king brown I've ever seen.
So I'm just looking at a photograph that Marshall's given me. This is from Taronga Zoo?
No, that's actually, I was caught that on the Arnhem Highway just out of Darwin.
Oh, okay. And there's three people holding a king brown, which...
3 metres long.
Is it? Yeah, I was going to say. And its diameter would be, we're looking at tin of tomatoes, chopped tomatoes in its diameter.
Huge.
That is a massive brown
snake.
That's
a wild caught snake.
I wouldn't like to. You see, I don't want to touch that, Marshall.
No, and I can understand why. But, and I suppose is this, people growing up end up having hobbies or interests or passions. Mine was, to my mother's dismay, was snakes. Mm. And it's evolved now into all wildlife.
Just finally, what's your impression of the Kimberley so far? Have you had a chance to look around much of it so far?
A little bit. I've been up to Cape Levitt and just off the coast there to the island with Albert Wigan and some other people, which was a real experience
course,
for me.
And Albert, of course, was very close friends with Malcolm.
He was very, very close. And, you know, what a great guy. And he's taken me out on one trip, along with Mark Jones, who's the general manager at the moment, and a phenomenal guy also. And so with the promise of doing more trips, which, you know, I've always been drawn to this area. I haven't had the opportunity to really get up there, but, you know, being one of the last true wildernesses on Earth and a real biodiversity hotspot, it's a treasure. And I'm looking forward to getting in there and having a closer look.
Well, thank you so much for giving me some time this morning, Marshall. I appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I hope we can do it again.